We're in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. I'm going to try to finish this up next week. Revelation is like a play. You got the bad side, the good side. You got the characters that come on the stage, and we got to explain what happens to them. You got the big red dragon, which is Satan. Revelation chapter 12. He has a seven-headed, ten-horned beast, which the final beast is 666, which would be the mission, the 11th emperor of Rome. And then you have the false prophet who builds an image and gets people to worship 666. Then you got the worshipers, and then you got the city that rules the world. Well, chapter 17 to 18, the city's gone. It's out of the way. Revelation 19, 20, and the beast, 666, was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. So the city, 666, false prophet, they're gone. We only have two left, the worshipers and Satan. Verse 21, and the rest were killed with a sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So you're reading this before it ever happens, but if you don't follow the Lord, if you want to follow the beast, this is going to be your end. It's a gory end, you know, if that's you like a carcass on the side of the road in the, or the battlefield out there. So the only person left is Satan. Chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Verse 3, and he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it all over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. That's all that's about. 1,000 years, it's not literal. It started with the fall of the city, Rome. It started with the fall of the beast, 666, which he died in 96 A.D. So it's been 1,000 years since then. Wasn't meant to be literal. It's been 2,000 years since then. All it's saying to the people who go through this, that if you survive it, you don't have to worry about it in your lifetime. We're going to bind Satan where he can no longer deceive the nations any longer. That's the only point there. We're stopping this right now. It won't happen again. You notice where I stopped in verse 3? Until the 1,000 years were completed. This is not the end of time in Revelation. It's dealing with 666 and the Roman Empire. And so we bind Satan until this 1,000-year period is ended. And after these things, he must be released for a short time. Same thing, Revelation 12. He's only got a short time. You've got to use plan A. You've got to use a world ruler to force them people to worship you, or else you don't have time to work sin through everybody's lives. What about the people who are faithful? Who died faithfully. Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. What do they get in this deal? You've got to answer it. Well, verse 1. Then I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus, because of the Word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image. And had not received the mark of on their forehead or on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. It's like political parties take over. They throw out all their other people, put their cronies in, and they share in the glory and the rule. Well, Rome goes down. The mission goes down. Christ rules. Now, he ruled from Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But you see it, in fact, when the big royal power goes to his knees. There ain't nobody left. Revelation says it's going to happen before it happens. And once it happens, what are your conclusion you're going to draw? He did it. Well, the people who died faithful, they share in heaven with these things that God, that Christ accomplished. They're share. They had their lots tied to his lot in eternity until this 1,000 years is over. The end of time comes when 1,000 years is over. Verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. For they will be priests of God, and Christ will reign with him for 1,000 years. So they share in his thing. Second death will have no effect on them. That goes to Hades. We'll see that at the end of this chapter. So the people who died faithfully, they're blessed in this 1,000-year period with Christ as the point. So, you know, stay with me. If you die, hey, it's going to be okay. Well, what happens when 1,000 years are complete? Since he brought it up, you've got to explain it. Verse 7. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison. Verse 8. Will come out to do what? Deceive the nations. Do the same stinking thing. He doesn't change. You can predict it. You know, Revelation 12, he's a three-time loser and going after the people who follow Jesus. I mean, he can't stand all that. Verse 8. Now, he'll come out to see the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. So, we got this gigantic world war against Christ again. Gog and Magog is a king in a land. In Ezekiel 38:39, all these innumerable people coming up against the people of God, and they lose. You know, nothing changes in the Bible. Verse 9. And they came upon the broad plain of the earth. It's where they always fight battles. And surrounded the camp of the saints. The church is not all in Berry. It's not in Paul and Pistola. It's scattered, but what? We're using the language, he's going after all the Christians. That's what he's going to attack them. Well, that's what he did before. Chapter 12 through 19. Verse 10. Verse 9. And they came upon the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. What city? And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. This is the end of time. We got to explain what happens after the 1,000 years over. But the fall of the beast, 666, the mission, and the fall of Rome is not the end of Revelation. It's not about the end of time. The end of time comes after the 1,000-year period. But we've got to talk about it because we brought it up. We bound the Satan for 1,000 years. Well, what happens afterward? Well, he does the same thing, and fire comes down and devours it. It's over. Everything's done now. That's end of time. Verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we throw the devil in the lake of fire. That's the end of time. He's tormented forever and ever. It's all over now. This is the only period that deals with anything past the first century. So now, since that was the end of time, we've got to talk about the judgment scene. Verse 11. Then I saw the great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place is found for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which are written in the books according to their deeds. On the day of judgment, everybody's gathered. It's sentencing phase. If you die lost, you go to Hades. Luke 16. You're already guilty if you're in Hades. If angels don't come and carry you away, you don't go to be with Christ. You're guilty. Now, the degree of punishment you deserve, whether it's manslaughter, secondary murder, or death penalty, I mean, you know, there's degrees of punishment here. And there's a book of life. Has people's names in it. They're exempt from being judged. But books are open. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Lake of fire is equal hell. We don't need Hades anymore because it's the end of time. Hades is a temporary holding place of the unrighteous souls. Luke 16. We don't need it anymore. It's thrown out. We're now judging people. Final judgment is taking place. Verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And if your name's in the book of life, everything's okay. You get that erased, we don't know you. Okay, chapter 21. Everybody says this is heaven. You probably need to read the words on the pages first. Almost everybody says this is heaven. Verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Yep, it's got to be heaven. Then I saw a new heaven, a new earth. We just talked about the end of time and judgment day. It's got to be heaven. That's what next, isn't it? What happens to the people? I'm getting ahead of myself. Getting way ahead of myself. Then I saw a new heaven, a new earth. So the first heaven and earth passed away. It's gone. Earth's gone. It's born up. It's end of time. There's no longer any sea. Verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Is this book about heaven? Is it chapter 21 about heaven? What's 21 about, verse 2? And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Everybody says this is heaven. Chapter 21. What's verse 2 say?
Is it the church?
Close. Okay, where's it coming from? It's coming out of heaven. It's not heaven, folks. And plenty of other verses will say that. Yeah. It'll get close. It is a city. The city is the environment in which you live, which the church. And more specifically in this case, what do you get if you overcome in this struggle? What if you stay faithful despite the pressures put on you and you make it to the end? What kind of relationship? Does God appreciate that? Does He appreciate that a lot more? My two kids went to college. Ernest Allen goofed off through there. You know, he can make a B. I can make a B. You know, you don't have to work at it. You know, but that's not good. Stacy struggled through school all the way through. High school, elementary school. Graduated from college in 4 years. I thought she wouldn't make it the first semester at junior college. Graduated in 4 years. How do you do that? I appreciate her much more than I appreciate him. Because his was easy. And he didn't apply it as much as he should. But she took what she had and did much more with. What if you go through this struggle and you make it and you're still alive? How could God convey to you what He thinks about you? That's what this chapter is about. So there's a new city, New Jerusalem. The old city that ruled the world, what happened to it? It went down. So now we've got a new ruling city, but it's coming down out of heaven. It's God rule. Christ rules, and we've got to have a ruling city. And so at the old Jerusalem, that was Israel rule. We've got a new Jerusalem, which is spiritual. Okay? So it's coming down out of heaven. So this chapter is not about heaven. That's the point. Verse 3. And remember its language. It's exaggeration. It's not real. But it's expressing in the most glorious terms your relationship with God if you come through this faithful. Isaiah talks about where the lamb lays down the lion. It's language. That's never going to happen without somebody being devoured. What was it, that whale that drug that lady in and killed her? You know, down there, that water park. You know, wild animals, and sooner or later, the urges are going to... So, God, we're using language. Keep that in mind. I will spell it out as we go through. Verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them." So this is the city where God dwells on earth. The spiritual city. It's the ruling city. Verse 4. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. First things have passed away. People use this verse talking about heaven. Well, certainly it will be true of heaven. There won't be any death. There won't be any mourning. What He's saying here is, We just beat 666 in the ground, and we brought Rome to its knees, and all the cities of the nation fell, and they're not going to try that stuff no more. It's over. You don't need to worry about it. The morning, we're going to wipe away your tears. You've entered a new world. And it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and it's different from what the past was. You grow up in the inner city. I grew up in Houston, Texas. The inner city is bad. Boy, you move out to the suburbs, oh, it's a different world. You don't have to worry about certain things. You don't have to carry your money underneath your tongue. You know, there's a lot of things. It's different. Well, this is talking about the environment. We're going to wipe away the past tears that they've been through is the point. And death, they're not going to be looking to kill you here. We're going to be, the world has changed, is the point. Verse 5, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. This is the way it is. Verse 6, then he said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha and Omega, Jesus, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. Verse 6 at the end. What? Verse still here? I'll give anybody, you know, this life without cost. Just come on. Verse still here? I mean, come on in. There's free living water here. Verse 7, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I'll be his God, and he'll be my son. We're talking before it happens. And we're given a picture. You overcome this, I'll be your God and you'll be my son. Let's get it straight right here what the relationship's going to be. Verse 8, but for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ooh. I mean, this is said before they go into it. So, what do you want to be? You better give up your cowardness and your lying. You get over here on this other side. Especially if judgment's coming upon the world out there. Verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Talking about the city. The city. And we were going to explain it to you. What it's all about. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the Spirit into the great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Verse 11, having the glory of God, or brilliance, was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Verse 12, it had great and high wall with 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels. And names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. So we've got high walls, you've got these gates and names on them of the leaders of Israel. I mean, you have the leaders of Israel, you have the church to get this thing into place. Verse 13, there were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 15, the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. 16. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. It's not a real city. You know how far that would cover? We can mark off bottom of Illinois to Texas, southward. 1,500 miles all direction. It's language of exaggeration. This is a monstrous city. We can include all the faithful. We've got room here. For exaggeration, trying to convey things. It's going to get better. Verse 17, he measured its wall 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. That's worth 17 yards. The base, concrete base, 216 feet. It's a monstrous city, a monstrous walls. You know, it's not literal, but security's here. Verse 18, material of the wall was jasper. The city was pure gold like clear glass. 19, the foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stones, and I'll skip those. 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Boy, if you're in the middle of this trial, and you're being threatened with your life, and you can't buy and sell anything, you can't buy no food for your babies, you start sitting thinking about chapter 21. That wonderful future if you make it. If you don't make it, you get to go be with Christ. You get a crown of life. But boy, you start thinking about this is what I'm going to get. You can find reasons to hang on. It's not real, but you can't, I saw a picture the other day. Guy storing his gold bullion. I mean, big bars. But no 1 ounces. I mean, it drove a tow motor. It was on pallets. It parked it in some like rent-a-shed. It was bunches of. The guy's suggesting that you don't park your gold in a place like that. But there's more gold than you ever thought about ounce-wise. Well, the whole city is gold here. 1,500 feet high walls, and each of the 12 gates is one big 1,500-foot pearl. Now, you know it's not real, but it's being written to conjure the imagination. This, if you hang on and you make it, this is the relationship you're going to have with God. Verse 22, and I saw a temple in it. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are His temple. 23, and the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is illuminated. This lamp is the Lamb. So you depend on the lamp, to give you light. You don't need these external things in this city. It's self-contained. All that energy preservation now and all the new green stuff, yay. You don't need any of that here. Verse 24, you know what? We're not talking about heaven. We're not talking about the end of time. We're talking about a city coming down to earth. Verse 24, the nations will walk by its light and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. What's still here? The nations and the earth. We're talking about an idea. Spiritual city where the relationship people have with God who overcome. You and I are in the middle of the city today. Because it was on earth when fire came down from heaven. Since it mentioned it, he had to bring it up here and explain it. Well, verse 25, in the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. The Lord's going to defend it. And you don't have to worry anybody who's going to scale a 1,500-mile wall. That's not that high. Yeah. You don't have to worry about that, thanks. Verse 26, they'll bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, second time. 27, nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination, lying, shall ever come into it, but only those names who are written in the book, in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's you and me today. Got this city, the relationship, like the church. Chapter 23, verse 1, then he showed me a river, water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, verse 2, in the middle of his street, on one side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Famous church, out of the church, Christ works. Out of this city, we work. He doesn't work outside the church or the city. He works through them. And there's a tree of life in it. Eternal. Remember why Adam and Eve couldn't get back to the garden? Why God put up those cherubim with flaming swords? Because they go eat of the tree of life, what? They can live forever. Eternal life's in this city. Outside, that's the cowards and the liars and all that stuff. Just talking about a relationship. Verse 3, there will be no longer any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. His bondservant will serve him. Verse 4, they'll see his face and his name will be on their forehead. So you want to take the mark of the beast? Well, he's going to end up dead and in the lake of fire, and the people that follow him are going to be eaten by birds. But here in this city, my people are going to have my mark on them. Verse 5, and there will be no longer any night. They'll not have need of light of the lamp nor light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. When Rome falls, Christ takes over. There's never going to be a worldwide ruler to the end of time. There hasn't been one in 2,000 years, which is pretty much the rules. They're going to let them do it one more time, and that's the end of time. And the Christian's going to reign forever. I mean, we rule, Christ rules, we're going to rule. We don't believe that, but that's still true. Verse 6. And he said to me, the words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Where have I heard that before? I bet I heard that in the first three verses. The book of Revelation is about things going to shortly take place. They're not about 2,000 years from then. Verse 7, behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophets of this book. Same thing in the first three verses. I'm coming quickly. Chapter verse 8, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw, I fell down to worship the feet of the angel who showed me these things. These things are so marvelous and insightful where we're going. He bows down to the angel. Verse 9, but he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and those who heed the words of this book, worship God. All I am is a servant. All I'm doing, what I'm told to do, you worship God. You heed the words of this book. Verse 10, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophets of this book, for the time is near. Seemed like I heard that in the first three verses. Book of Revelation is about something going to happen shortly. It's about 666 falling. It's about the city that reigns over the kings of the earth coming crashing down. I mean, famine, pestilence, fire, 10 kingdoms turning on it, you know. You look over there today, you got Greece involved in the old Euro thing. And it's going bankrupt. It's going belly up. Oh, Germany don't want to bail them out. Oh, but they're part of the same group. Oh, it's going to be a mess, you know. Well, Rome gathers up sub-kingdoms to give it its power. But they turn on her. It's over. It's so easy to bring them down. So easy to bring a nation down. Verse 11. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. The one who's filthy, still be filthy. Let the one who's righteous still practice righteousness. The one who's holy, still keep himself holy. Behold, I'm coming quickly. And my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he's done. I mean, if you're filthy, just stay filthy. We're the clock is ticking. We're moving on. It's coming. It'll be 12 years before it starts. And 26 years from the writing of the book, it's over. It's done. So just stay where you are, either way. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have a right to the tree of life, may enter by the gates into the city. If you wash your robes, you can come into the city. You can come into this relationship with God. Same as the church, just more blessed. 15, outside of the dogs, the sorcerers, immoral persons, and the murderers and the adulterers and everyone who loves, practice lying. 16, I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take water of life without cost. 18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. 19. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. Only talking about the Revelation. You don't want to add to it and you don't want to take away. This is serious. It's going to happen shortly. The time is near. People's lives and their souls are on the line here. You get caught going over and worship 666, I guarantee you it's going to be terrible for you in eternity. So don't add to it unless you want to add these plagues to your life. God will do it. We're talking about Revelation only. And don't take any away from this thing, any at all. Now, what did everybody do with the book of Revelation? Speculate about everything. So if it applied to us today, what? Where would those people be? In deep trouble. Verse 20. He who testifies these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. John, what? Jesus is going to do it. So what? It's okay. Do it. 21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Any thoughts? I finished it in 1 week. The point is, it's about things that must take place shortly. Time is near. You need to heed it because the time is near. So they're expected to keep it. They can understand it enough to keep what they need to keep. It's not something about the future. Only Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through the end of the chapter has anything to do with the future. It's a quick statement of the end of time, what's going to happen, but it gives us insight in what to look for. There's a worldwide ruler, and he says, worship me. Well, you better look for fire coming down from heaven. That's all you need to be concerned about. If your name's in the book of life, you're not going to worship him, so it don't matter. But if you start seeing those signs, you probably need to be concerned. Oh, they're trying to work on a worldwide government. Oh, but it takes a long time to get all that stuff in place. Then it takes a long time to get some guy arrogant enough to say, I'm God, and you've got to worship me. Nobody would have thought it would happen in the first century, but it did. But then they put Jesus to death. It was all part of the plan. And so the devil's going to try to plan here in Rome, part of the plan, to get rid of the world's last ruling power. Any thoughts? Would you bow with me, please?